How many card counters do you see in here? More and more. There are casinos in 40 states now, so more people are gambling. We keep extensive files on suspected counters. And when we think we have one here, then we simply ask them to leave. We have that right, you know.
What's your biggest one-day winner? Ray asked.
Piccolo looked at Barker, who said, Excluding slots?
Yes.
We had a guy win $180 in craps one night.
$180,000?
Right.
And your biggest loser?
Barker took his water from the waitress and scratched his face for a second.
Same guy dropped $200,000 three nights later.
Do you have consistent winners? Ray asked, looking at his notes as if serious academic research was underway.
I'm not sure what you mean, Piccolo said.
Let's say a guy comes in two or three times every week, plays cards or dice, wins more than he loses, and over time racks up some nice gains. How often do you see that?
It's very rare, said Piccolo. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in business.
Extremely rare, Barker said.
A guy might get hot for a week or two. We'll zero in on him, watch him real close, nothing suspicious, but he is taking our money. Sooner or later, he's going to take one chance too many, do something stupid, and we'll get our money back. 80% lose over time, Piccolo added.
Ray stirred his cappuccino and glanced at his notes. A guy walks in, complete stranger, lays down $1,000 on a blackjack table, and wants $100 chips. What happens up here?
Barker smiled and cracked his thick knuckles.
We perk up. We'll watch him for a few minutes, see if he knows what he's doing. The pit boss will ask him if he wants to be raided or tracked, and if so, then we'll get his name. If he says no, then we'll offer him a dinner. The cocktail waitress will keep the drinks coming, but if he doesn't drink, then that's another sign that he might be serious. The pros never drink when they gamble, Piccolo added. They might order a drink for cover, but they'll just play with it.
What is raiding?
Most gamblers want some extras, explained Piccolo. Dinner, tickets to a show, room discounts, all kinds of goodies we can throw in. They have membership cards that we monitor to see how much they're gambling. The guy in your hypothetical has no card, so we'll ask him if he wants to be raided.
And he says no.
Then it's no big deal. Strangers come and go all the time. But we sure try to keep up with them, Barker admitted.
Ray scribbled something meaningless on his folded sheet of paper. Do the casinos pool their surveillance? He asked, and for the first time, Piccolo and Barker squirmed in unison.
What do you mean by pool?
Piccolo asked with a smile, which Ray returned, Barker quickly joining in.
While all three were smiling, Ray said, Okay, another hypothetical about our consistent winner. Let's say the guy plays one night at the Monte Carlo, the next night at Treasure Cove, the next night at Aladdin, and so on down the strip here. He works all the casinos, and he wins a lot more than he loses. And this goes on for a year. How much will you know about this guy?
Piccolo nodded at Barker, who was pinching his lips between a thumb and an index finger.
We'll know a lot, he admitted.
How much? Ray pressed.
Go on, Piccolo said to Barker, who reluctantly began talking. We'll know his name, his address, his occupation, phone number, automobile, bank. We'll know where he is each night, when he arrives, when he leaves, how much he wins or loses, how much he drinks, did he have dinner, did he tip the waitress, and if so, then how much? How much did he tip the dealer?
And you keep records on these people?
Barker looked at Piccolo, who nodded yes, very slowly, but said nothing. They were clamming up because he was getting too close. On second thought, a tour was just what he needed.
They walked down to the floor, where instead of looking at the tables, Ray was looking up at the cameras. Piccolo pointed out the security people. They stood close to a blackjack table, where a kid who seemed like a young teenager was playing with stacks of $100 chips.
He's from Reno, Piccolo whispered. Hit Tunica last week. Took us for $30,000. Very, very good. And he doesn't count cards, Barker whispered, joining the conspiracy. Some people just have the talent for it, like golf or heart surgery,
Piccolo said. Is he working all the casinos? Ray asked.
Not yet, but they're all waiting for him.
The kid from Reno made both Barker and Piccolo very nervous. The visit was finished in a lounge where they drank sodas and wrapped things up. Ray had completed his list of questions, all of which had been leading up to the grand finale.
"I have a favor," he asked the two of them.
"Sure, anything."
"My father died a few weeks ago, and we have reason to believe he was sneaking over here, shooting dice, perhaps winning a lot more than he was losing. Can this be confirmed?"
"What was his name?" asked Barker.
"Reuben Attlee from Clanton."
Barker shook his head no while pulling a phone from his pocket.
"How much?" asked Piccolo.
"Don't know. Maybe $1 million over a period of years."
Barker was still shaking his head.
"No way. Anybody who wins or loses that kind of money will know him well."
And then into the phone, Barker asked the person on the other end if he could check on a Reuben Attlee.
"You think he won $1 million? Piccolo asked.
"Won and lost," Ray replied. "Again, we're just guessing."
Barker slammed his phone shut.
"No record of any Reuben Attlee anywhere. There's no way he gambled that much around here."
"What if he never came to this casino?" Ray asked,
certain of the answer.
"We would know,"
they said together.